The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
And we're going to be talking about offense and how easily it is to be offended and how the enemy uses those offenses to divide and conquer. He wants to divide the body of Christ. He wants you. This is his goal for you. He may not be able to get you completely out of the kingdom just like that, but if he can divide you from the body of Christ, his ultimate goal will be to move you so far away from God that you feel like you're empty and without hope. And if he can use, he will use offense to do that. It is a bait that he uses all the time in the body of Christ. And people isolate themselves from the people that love them the most, the people that can help them, the people that can reach out and build them up. They stay away from them. They isolate themselves from it. That's the way it works. And that's exactly what he does in people's lives. So I want us to recognize what we're talking about here. We're talking about something that the enemy uses in just about everybody's life. And we have to be on guard for it, of it. And see that it's coming. Recognize how the sometimes symptoms that we have in our own life when it comes to offense, and be on guard to stop it. So one of the things I want you to do this morning, the first thing I want you to do is look at Luke chapter 17. Gospel of Luke. Chapter 17, we're going to begin with the first verse. It says this, and he said to his disciples, "It is impossible that no offense should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Now, of course, Jesus is talking here about someone who is intentionally offending someone. But what we want to recognize is what the word offense is and where it comes from and how it affects our individual lives. "Take heed to yourselves that your brother sin against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Let's just stop right there. Take heed that offense comes. And remember what Jesus just said to us there. Forgive. Now, this is not an easy task. I realize that. It is a difficult thing to continue to forgive, particularly if someone continually does something that offends you. And then they just keep coming back and asking for forgiveness. The Word of God is very clear. We are to forgive. Now, what happens many times, though, in people's lives is that we are offended by something that is said or done, and other people don't even know that they've offended us. We all know, you know, you've had somebody do something that offended you, but you realize that they didn't even know that they offended you. So we have some things, some triggers in our life that cause us to be offended, and the individual's not even trying to offend. Triggers are usually they come from something that happened in our past life. You know, I'm not talking about, when you were alive before hundreds of years ago. I'm talking about in your childhood. Let's make sure we're clear about this. In your childhood, as you were growing up, or, you know, just things that have happened throughout your lifetime. The offense here that we're looking at, the word here is scandalon. And it's basically, it's the trip on a trap. It's the bait stick of Satan is what John Bevere refers to it as. The bait stick, because you put the bait on the trip, on the trap, and when an animal goes for that, what happens? As soon as he grabs it, boom, you've got him. And that's what happens. That's the trigger. You have a trigger in your life sometimes that causes something. How many of you have just you from past experience? Maybe let's talk about Christmas. There are smells that you smell that takes you back to Christmas when you were a child. You know, or foods, certain foods. We all have that, right? My grandmother used to make fudge for me. Now, as she got older in her life, that fudge was not very good fudge. It was just a real hard block of sugar is what it amounted to. Yeah. But she made that for me. And every time I'd come visit, she would have that for me. And that was, you know, that was special. So when I eat fudge or I see fudge, I think about that. It takes me back to my childhood and how special that was, eating that nasty old fudge. But it was full of love, and that's all that mattered. You know, it stirs emotions inside of me. Tammy's sister, one of her sisters, mentioned something to her not too long ago that really just stirred emotions inside of her. A person called her by a name that she was called when she was a child, and she didn't like it. She didn't like that. And she asked Tammy, would you tell that person not to call me that anymore? And it wasn't anything bad. It was just a normal name that you would call an individual. However, in her mind, that was a trigger that created negative emotions inside of her. And if you've ever had people call you names, if someone would happen to say something like that to you, there's that trigger. There it is. That's the trap. Now listen, this is what I'm trying to share with you this morning. That's the trap that the enemy sets up for offense. Because for me, I can tell you that I have said things to people, have no intention of offending them. Not even having any thought that I might offend them. And I've said it, and I hear through the grapevine weeks later that they're mad at me. They're mad at me because I said so, and I don't even know what I said. See, these are issues in the body of Christ. This stuff is happening all the time. People who go to church together are being offended by something that someone else said, and that person doesn't even know they offended them. We got to deal with these things. We got to get to the root of the issue and put a stop to it, because it's an offense that the enemy is using to divide and conquer. Yes, sir. Divide and conquer. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles. You know what the wiles of the devil, what they are? They're schemes. And schemes, the Greek word there is methodia. It's the enemy's method of getting to you. It's the enemy knows how to get into your life and how to divide and conquer you. The wiles are schemes, they're crafts, they're strategies. The enemy has a strategy. And one of his strategies to get into your life and to divide and conquer you is this thing that we're talking about this morning. Offense. He will get you to the point where you're offended by something. Traps. Brady and I was cleaning out a garage that we have not too long ago. And when we were doing it, he brought me this thing that he didn't know what it was. But it had been around there for a while, and somebody had told me what it was. But it was a mole trap. Has anybody ever seen mole trap? Well, if you haven't seen a mole trap, they're a pretty hideous thing. Because what you do is they have a great big spring on them. You set that spring and you set that trap down where you think the mole is going to be coming through, because you see how the moles dig and they leave a little ridge. Well, you put it right on top of that ridge. And when he comes through, he hits that trap, that release on the trap, the bait area. In this case, there isn't any bait, but the area that releases the trap, and these great big long needles come down. And Brady said, what's it do? Trap him inside there? No. No, that's not what it does. It pierces him. It impales him. It stops him in his tracks. That's what happens. See, we'll just be going along. No problem. And the enemy has set up this trap. And all of a sudden, we will hit it. We hit that trap, and boom, he pierces us, and he holds us. He's got us trapped right there because of these things that are, these feelings and these emotions that are stirred up inside of us. That's the wiles of the devil. That's the schemes that the enemy has to come against us. That's the way he works. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. By the way, for anyone who is wanting to know, I do have my Bible. I found my Bible, and I'm not letting it very far out of my sight. Keeping it close by. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Verse 22 says this, "Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they create strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." You see, these things that I'm talking about, this offense can be a snare of the enemy, that he will capture you and he will hold you. And if you allow him to, he will keep you in bondage your whole life. But I believe there's answers for that. I believe God wants to set you free. I believe there are supernatural ways to deal with these things through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you can be set free from that stuff. And I also believe that there are tactics that we can use based on the Word of God to capture our thoughts and begin to think on good things that will keep us from being snared by the enemy and being in bondage. Enemy's desire is to keep God's people from accomplishing God's will in this earth, God's will for your life. You know, I've known a couple guys that have done some trapping, and one of the things that they realize they have to do to trap an animal, there's a few things that they have to do, but one of the things they have to do is make sure that trap is concealed so that the enemy doesn't see it. Another thing is that they try to keep the human scent off from that trap. So they have to do various things to keep that from happening. And this is exactly what the enemy will do. The enemy will set up traps for us to keep us from, or to cause offense. And then for some, there's absolutely, I don't understand it, but for some reason, rather than recognizing that it was the enemy that's doing it, we blame people, and sometimes we even blame God. Right. And we allow that enemy to stir these things inside of us. Matthew chapter 24, if you turn there with me, please. Now, I'm not going to get very far with this message this morning, but I want to do my best to lay some foundation so that we will be able to deal with this particular issue, offense, in the lives of the individuals here at Bethel Worship Center so that we can put a stop to this tactic that the enemy is using against us and not allow him to do harm to the body of Christ. Matthew chapter 24, verse 10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. The Greek, that verse 10 right there, many, in the Greek, it means much, it means great, it means a huge amount, a large part. So when it says that many are going to be offended, it's talking about the body of Christ. And it's saying that many are going to be offended and it will grow cold because of offense. A large number. Come on, people, we don't want to be in that large number. We want to be aware of what the enemy is doing and stand against his tactics, not allowing that offense to come into our lives. We don't want to be that large number. This word is used five times in the text from verse 1 through 14. In verse 10, Jesus makes it clear a very large group of the body of Christ will be offended. Now, here's what I want you to see. There's a progression that takes place here. Look at verse 10. And many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Is there a place in the body of Christ for hate? No, not at all. There is no place. So when you have those emotions that are rising up, you're already very deep into offense. Because it says you're going to betray, and then you're going to hate. You must deal with it. We should be dealing with it long before we get to that place. But we do not many times. If you are offended and you deal with it, good. But if you don't, it turns into betrayal and then into hatred. You all know the progression. You've felt it in your life. You've seen it happen. You've had people betray you before, and then it turns into hate for whatever reason. Hebrews 12, verse 14 and 15 says, "Pursue peace with all people and holiness without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, cause trouble, and by this many become defiled." Of course, a root of a plant starts at the base of the plant and goes into the ground. But that's where the nourishment comes from for a plant. And he's saying, listen, root of bitterness, when you are offended, you begin to plant a root of bitterness. And from that root of bitterness, guess what? Fruit will be produced. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, peace. Against those things that, you know, there's no law against that. But the fruit that we're talking about here turns into hatred. The fruit of being offended becomes bitterness, and then it progresses into hatred. So I like to say it this way. The fruit of this offense grows up and it rots into hatred. Because it becomes bitterness and it rots into hatred into individual lives. Proverbs 18:19 says this, "A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city." and contentions are like bars of a castle. Cities in the time Solomon wrote this, and in the time of Solomon, cities were walled. They had huge walls all around them. In fact, in 2010, a wall was found that surrounded Jerusalem that probably Solomon built. It was 20 feet tall, and they're not sure exactly how thick it was in the beginning. But I can tell you there are ramparts at Hazor in northern Israel built about 1700 BC, and they were 50 feet thick and 290 feet tall. Huge walls. And the purpose of those walls are what? To keep out the enemy, right? Keep the enemy away. But also to let those friends, the people in your community, and see, because during this time, most of the time, they would build up these cities, and the city was for protection, and many people lived in the city, but a lot of people lived outside of the city in communities. It would be suburbs. What we would call them, from a city. And they lived out in these smaller communities, but if there was any trouble, they would run into the city for protection, and they'd close the doors if there was an enemy that was coming against them. And here's what we do. What Solomon is saying here is that when we're offended, we build up a huge wall around us as protection. And you know, not only do we build up a huge wall around us for protection, but we go around trying to find people that want to come into this wall with us, into this wall city. And we say, do you know what that enemy did to me? You know what they said to me? You know how they treated me? Come on over here to my city and we'll live happily ever after. Ha ha, that's right. That's not going to happen. You know it's not. But these are walled cities, and what we do is we build up these walled cities around us to protect ourselves, and we end up isolating ourselves because we're really the only one that goes into it. Nobody else wants to live in your miserable city with you.
Come on. There you go.
Right? I hope that you're getting this morning, because I want us to be free and not allow the enemy to allow these things to stop us, to hold us back. You know, offense is what we're talking about. We're talking about being offended. And being offended will cause us to run into this walled city and try to keep everybody else out so we're not hurt. You can't do it. You can't hide from these things. It'll make you miserable. You'll be lonely. I believe this is that as we go through this teaching, and I hope that I'm laying a good foundation for you this morning so that we will be able to build on it throughout this series of messages. Because what I want to see happen in individual lives is I want you to be able to identify old wounds in your life that are creating situations that cause you to be easily offended. See, it's not always the other person. We have to take some responsibility for our own emotions and our own feelings, and sometimes those wounds that have happened in our past, all it takes is just a little prick, and they're wide open once again. And they're miserable. And they keep coming back, and they keep coming back, and I want you to know this morning that there is freedom in Jesus Christ. You can be set free from those things. But you have to identify them. You have to be able to come to the place where you will look back on each and every one of these situations and realize that this is where that wound is. This is what caused the wound. This is why I'm having such a difficult time. This is why I'm so easily offended by certain things in my life. It's not the other person. It's actually me. I can identify with it. I understand. I've been there, I'm battling it, but I want to be victorious, and I want you to be victorious. And I believe there is victory for every one of us. So that this offense, being easily offended, is no longer an issue here at Bethel Worship Center. that we recognize that you know, someone may say something that doesn't set with us, a big deal. I'm going to go on with my life. I'm not going to let someone else have control over me. Do you realize what we do? Do you see what happens when you allow something that someone else said to you control the way you're thinking and how difficult it is for you to have forgiveness for that person? Do you know they're controlling you? And maybe some people are trying to control you. Don't let them. Don't allow that. Don't allow them to get into you, get to the point where they have that kind of control over you. God wants to hold you responsible for your own actions and recognize that the power of the Holy Spirit is available to deliver you from these things. Hallelujah. I'm going to share some things with you that I'm learning from the book, John Bevere, Bait of Satan, and also some other things that I've learned. One of the people that I've learned some things about the way that the brain works and emotions is Dr. Caroline Leaf, who has been researching the brain for 25 years. She's a Christian psychologist. And what she has found out is that the old research on the brain was done with diseased brains. And now they're doing new research with the brain. So what they find out is that actually the brain is the only organ that doesn't really deteriorate over time unless there's some kind of disease in it. That it will continue to be strong and have a certain amount of health to it as we get older in our life. So, you know, the idea that, well, I'm getting older so I can't remember things, is that's really been debunked. We may have some issues with memory. We all do. But it's probably not because our brain is deteriorating. There are other issues, and sometimes it's, it is diet, and there's other things that we can do. But, you know, that's kind of her vein of research. But what she says is that a mature, healthy brain used correctly will continue to expand. Hallelujah. I want my mind and my brain to expand. Just keep on expanding. The thing when somebody says you got the big head, I guess that's what we all want, is to have the big head, right? Not in the sense that they mean, but we want our brains to expand. Jesus said in Matthew 22, listen to this. Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your mind. Well, none of us really know what the mind is. There's greater brains than mine have tried to figure it out. Nobody really agrees on what the mind is. But we do know this, that the mind has something to do with thinking. So it has something to do with the brain, right? But there's more to it than that. There's a lot more to the mind than just the brain. There's emotions that go along with the mind. When I say I have the mind of Christ, that stirs emotions inside of me. Not just, oh, I'm thinking like Jesus. No, I have the mind of Jesus Christ. Wow, that makes me feel good. It should make you feel good when you, because it's not just me that has the mind of Christ. It's everybody who's a believer has the mind of Christ. There's emotions that go along with it. Weber's Collegiate Dictionary defines mind as the aggregate of all conscious and unconscious process originating and associated with the brain. So it originates in the brain, but it's more than just thought. We can conclude this, that the mind then is not just the brain function. The mind is the conscious, the subconscious, and sometimes the unconscious process of a human being. It's connected. You know, the mind, the soul, the spirit, we're all, it's just that's God created us as a triune being, and it's all connected and interwoven, and it's almost impossible to understand and explain it all. But we know it's there. You know, when my grandson, Owen, who spent the night with us a couple nights ago, and he sleeps with his papaw usually, and he almost always wakes up in the middle of the night and wants a drink, or I want Graham, or I want Mommy. Never asks for Daddy. He always wants Mommy. Yeah. And usually I can just comfort him and say, okay, take a drink. It's still late. We'll see Graham in the morning. We'll see Mommy tomorrow. And he, you know, usually he's pretty good. And most of the time, this is what he does. He puts his arms around me. And he says, I love you, Papaw. Now, I know that doesn't make you feel good, but it sure makes me feel good. I get a real, real good feeling and emotion. And you know, when he says that, I know that he's saying it with more than just his mind. You know, there's emotion that is attached to it. If we're not careful in our relationships with our spouse, we will just love our spouse with our mind. We will get to the point where I can do this. I can get to the point with my wife where I just say, I love you. I love you every day. I love you. I love you. I love you. But there's nothing to it. It's just words. If I'm not careful, it'll just become words. It'll be the same in the body of Christ if we're not careful. It's just words. I love you, Randy. I love you, Jessica. But they can just be words. I don't really have to have any emotion attached to it. But when it's real love, it's Christ-like love, there is emotion that's attached to it. And people know whether you're being real with them or not. Eventually, they figure out whether you're a fake or not. Your spouse will figure out whether you really love them or not. Amen? The body of Christ will figure out whether you are real, whether you really have the love of Christ. Because it shows. It's more than just words. It's more than just a thought. It's in your emotions, in your actions, it's in everything that you do. Hallelujah. By the way, did you guys find a car? Yes. Did you? All right. Praise God. Got a car for Megan, huh? What'd you find? Nissan. Good one. Good deal. Hallelujah. Just want you to know where we are here at Bethel Worship Center. We just want to be real with each other. We don't want to play any games. I don't want to come here on Sunday mornings and have a show. I don't want you to be entertained. You know, worship is not about entertainment. You want entertainment? Go down to the bar down in Pomeroy. You can be entertained down there. Or VFW or wherever. You can go to Charleston or Columbus, usually they have concerts. You can be entertained, you know. There's Christian concerts. They're great. And sometimes they're just entertainment. Sometimes they're worship. Hallelujah. I like the worship ones. There's nothing wrong with being entertained. Don't get me wrong. But when we come to church, I don't want to be entertained. I'm not here. If you come here for Pastor Rob to entertain you, you are going to be sorely disappointed because I'm not an entertainer. I can't do that. I don't do song and dance very well. If I did, I know you wouldn't be entertained. You might laugh, but you wouldn't be entertained. Not for very long if I did. I can't sing. You know, really, I have no talent. Nothing. That's what makes me good at what I do, because it's God. I'm standing up here this morning sharing the word of God with you, and I'm pouring my heart out to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by my power or anything that I have. Amen. Don't feel sorry for me that I don't have any talent. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen. Wow. I've got to wrap things up, and I'm going to stop right there. But I want to share this last verse with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's what we want, isn't it? And we want to have life and peace. We don't want to be carnally minded. And here's the thing I want to remind you of when it comes to being carnally minded. And that is that when we are offended, we're being carnally minded. That's the carnal mind. But spiritually minded, you will have life and peace no matter what is said or what is done to you. Can you imagine? Jesus had reason to be offended. And what did he say? Forgive them, Lord. Stephen, proclaiming Jesus on the day of Pentecost, he was stoned. He had reason to be offended. He said, forgive them, Lord. They don't understand. You see, that's where we need to be. Where no matter what anybody says or what anybody does, it's all about God. It's all about Jesus Christ. Stand with me. Read about a pastor who went to Africa or Haiti, or he went somewhere to on the mission field, and while he was there, he actually stayed in a witch doctor's home, and he slept in this witch doctor's bed, and over top of this witch doctor's bed was these little things, we'd call them trinkets, but they were hanging down from the ceiling. All just, dozens and dozens of them. And the next morning, he asked one of his people, what this was all about. And he said, every time somebody does something offensive to this witch doctor, he hangs one of those things over his bed so that at night, he can look at it and recall what they've done to him. He was keeping record of the wrongs. We keep record of wrongs. Well, we're not hanging trinkets over our bed, but when you lay down at night, some of you, that's all you can think of. The wrongs. I want you to be free from that. I want you to be delivered, and I believe there is deliverance for you. So we go through this series of teachings, we're going to get to the point where we recognize that Jesus Christ is the one that can set you free from this. But you have the ability to capture your thoughts and to cause them to come under obedience to the Word of God. Bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, today we just thank you for this Word and your teaching. We just ask, Lord, that it would move into the hearts and minds of your people. As we look to the future and we look to the things that you're doing, Lord, we just ask in Jesus' name, Father God, that you would stir people's hearts, stir them up and cause them to hear and to understand and to see what you want to do and how you want to deliver them, set them free. Father God, we just thank you for these things. Linda, do you have something? Okay. All right. Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I'm excited to be able to share this message with you. Our goal here at Bethel Worship Center is to use this tool to equip believers to walk in the abundant life Jesus promised. If you'd like to know more about our ministry or have a prayer request, please visit our website at www.bethel.org. Have a blessed day.